Hi, moms. I'm Becca Carnahan, mom and career development professional here to help you answer that big question. What do I want to be when I grow up? Just because we're moms now doesn't mean we're all the way grown up yet. And we want to give you permission to grow, change, and evolve as a parent and professional. By sharing real stories from real moms, we're going to help you navigate the motherhood identity shift, career changes, work-life balance questions, and more. If you're ready to keep growing up with us, then let's do this. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to When Mommy Grows Up. I am flying somewhat solo today. Marie is off at her kids' school, but not entirely solo because we have a wonderful guest with us today, Verena Hefti. Verena, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Absolute pleasure.
So let me get started by sharing a little bit of Verena's background with you all, and you're going to see very clearly why she was an ideal fit to come join us on When Mommy Grows Up. So Verena is the CEO and founder of Leaders Plus, a social enterprise to support leaders with babies and young children to continue to progress their careers. In 2019, she was a young mom who took 60 leaders with 40 babies to the House of Commons to inspire each other to get to the top roles. Her organization has supported leaders from a range of sectors and organizations, such as the BBC, HSBC, the NHS, the Salvation Army, and smaller social enterprises. Verena, we are so thrilled to have you. What did I miss in your bio? I mean, there's so much great stuff here, but what did I miss before we dive into questions?
Not at all. I also I have three children by now, so I set up Leaders Plus when they were when I had my eldest 7 years ago, and I have now a third one. Which there was somebody coughing on the background of this podcast. I don't know if it's my toddler or one of your children, but apologies. My partner is looking after a sickly toddler, and I think that's the top. That I think a really valuable thing. Probably for me, I was lucky enough to have someone who supported my career ambitions. And in my non-work life, I'm also a podcast host, which is why I'm so pleased to support what you're doing, and your podcast is brilliant. Our podcast is called Big Careers, Small Children.
And as much as we don't want small children coughing, I am very happy to have a small child coughing in the background of the podcast, because that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about balancing parenthood and our professional goals and having partners who are going to support us, and that there's just so much to dive into here. So I hope that your toddler feels better. Tis the season for germs as we're recording this in December. So if you hear it in my voice as well. So Verena, I can tell that motherhood has been a big driving force for you as you have created Leaders Plus. And maybe you can just tell us a little bit more about the start of Leaders Plus and what really inspired you to start this program that offers training and mentoring and workshops to help parents advance their careers while balancing the responsibilities of raising young children.
So before I had children, I was described as a workaholic by my colleagues. And many of my colleagues thought that it was really weird that I had children. And I had so many people who literally their faces dropped when I announced that I was pregnant. I had people who asked if it was an accident, work colleagues.
Wow.
Which it wasn't, for the record. But not that there's something bad with that. However, I think that really made me feel that, oh my goodness, are there two options here? Either you are career driven or you love children, and there's no chance. And I just suddenly had this moment of realization, thinking, am I the only one? And so that's why I, like you said, I then really desperately needed other people who also were ambitious and wanted to have children. And that's why I convinced our local parliamentarian to give us room in this beautiful, you know, the house where Big Ben is, essentially the Westminster Hall, in that wonderful building, to bring lots of babies, leaders with babies, along to hear from senior leaders about how they've done it. And obviously, you know this, sadly, there's no simple way of combining a big career with young children, but there are people there who are doing it and who are doing it against the grain. And it's really important to celebrate them.
Absolutely. And just to see other people doing it, I think, is so powerful. I know this in multiple times in my career. You feel like you can't be what you don't see. And when you see these groups of women, of mothers who are doing interesting things in their career and finding the right balance or integration for themselves, it's so inspiring. And I think there's so much to be said about having that inspiration and that visual. So how did you find it was 60, right? 60 leaders with 40 babies. Was that hard to do? Was it easy to do to kind of gather that group together to bring them to the US House of Commons?
It was the UK House of Commons, but I would love to do it in the US as well. If we can ever, someone knows a senator, please send them along. But it was mainly about bringing the networks together, and I think that's the power. If you there's so many people who don't tell you what they're going through and that they have the same challenges. And I just told a friend saying, "Look, I don't have any mom friends." Like at the time, I was, completely. This was my first baby, so I didn't have any local mum friends. I didn't know who to invite, but one of my friends, it was her third baby, had mum friends. And so
There we
we just
go.
asked everybody's friends, and suddenly we had a complete room full of inspirational people. And also the speakers, I got people who were very, you could almost call them famous, so kind of the top psychiatrist. Not we didn't get her as a psychiatrist, but as a leader, the top psychiatrist in the UK. Dame Geraldine Strathdee, so you can, people in the UK get often become a dame when they're very distinguished. So, and other people like that. And guess what? I just asked via social media on Twitter. I didn't even have a big Twitter following. Just asked, could you help? And a lot of people said no, but also a lot of people said yes. And that was another learning for me, is that people really want to help other working parents. And whenever you need a mentor, you need inspiration, just asking can I have a chat with you, or can you come and speak at my event? A lot of people will say yes.
I love that so much, Verena. And I think we definitely underestimate how often people will say yes. And yes, there's going to be some no's along the way, but people really do like to help if they can. So giving people the option to help by putting it out there is so powerful. So thank you for setting the example of doing just that. So one of the things that Marie and I talk about a lot on this podcast and in the Career Clarity program is flexibility and what that means for each individual. So I'm wondering if you can give an example of what flexibility can really mean for mothers in leadership roles in their career when they're raising very young children. Because there's lots of different ways we can think about flexibility. So how do you view it?
I'm trying to be very brief. So, I think the most important thing is that you identify what you want for yourself, and then that you communicate with the key people in your life how to make that happen. And obviously, you're not operating in a vacuum. You are within the organization, so that means different organizations have different practices. It is worth choosing an organization that is more friendly for flexible employees. We've just done a big report with over 900 working parents, and we found that, contrary to expectations, the very senior roles, so the exec directors, senior directors, those roles can be done as flexibly as more junior roles. But very often we think, because from the outside, those senior people, they hide that they're working flexibly a bit. And so from the outside, we think we can't apply to those roles because, of course, they're always advertised as full time. And I think that's a real thing. So a key takeaway for me, and also for my podcast, I interviewed a few CEOs with children, and a lot of them say flexibility is better now than it was before because you have control over your time.
I've heard that too, and I think it's definitely a myth that if you move into these more senior level roles, you'll have less flexibility, so maybe I should just stay at the level that I'm at. I hear that a lot from people. But like you said, when you have more control over your time, you're in charge of even setting the culture of the organization, you're role modeling for other folks within the organization. You can have flexibility. So that might look like being able to pop out and go to your kid's appointment. It could look like remote work. It might be hybrid work. There's a lot of different ways you can think about flexibility. And going back to hybrid specifically, I know that something you've talked about is how hybrid work can be great in some ways, but it can also create some issues. And specifically, I think you referred to it as creating a two-class society. So I'm wondering if you can talk about that a little bit more. What do you mean by that? And what can we do about it?
The issue is that when an organization forces employees to come back into the office, There will always be some employees who are used to working from home, who've changed their lives during the pandemic to move away from the big cities, for example, and they are not able to fulfill the same requirement. And sometimes, if all the networking happens in person, you end up excluding. I mean, you're nodding. I can see this is something you're talking to the people on your program as well about. There's such, I think there's an absolute massive problem that you can be excluded from the networking, which is important for career progression. And I think a very practical thing is if you are leading an organization, you need to make sure that you are engineering opportunities for connection with the most senior leaders in an informal way. Be that through virtual town halls, through carousel meetups, and so on and so forth. And also that your promotion systems, they don't rely on visibility. So that's the organization perspective. As an individual, I would say just simple things. So when you go to a Zoom call, make sure that you are the one who turns up 5 minutes early. So the host sees you and chats to you informally while everybody else arrives. It's a very simple way of networking informally while in this virtual environment.
I love that. It's such a simple thing that we can have control over too. 5 minutes. We're not asking for someone to commit to 2 hours of going to the happy hour. That might not be a thing that you can do because you have young kids, you might not even want to go, honestly, to the 2 hour happy hour. But if you can work in those extra 5 minutes to make those connections, that can be really powerful.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is you can use in quotation marks in the nicest possible way. You can use your children. Like, children are not, you have a full life, I'm sure any parent listening to this will attest to. So you can connect around this issue with others. So why not set up a lunchtime virtual meetup with your colleagues who have children, including those very senior people. Ask one of the very senior people to share how they are combining careers and family life. Like, do a replication of that event, which I did in the House of Commons, but just around, at five people around lunch. You have an instant benefit of you get some mentoring, possibly, and you connect with people outside of your division at work.
Another wonderful idea and so doable because you're not talking about you need it to be the 60 people in the room. You're saying, can we bring together five people over lunch and have a conversation about working life and parenthood life? And whether that's formal through an employee resource group or something more informal, like you're mentioning, these are all really powerful ways to gain more visibility in your professional career, to build those connections, build your network, and maybe even build a skill set too of organizing a group of people and showcasing some leadership abilities if you haven't been in a leadership role to date.
Absolutely. That's it.
Something else that really resonates with me about your work is that you really strongly believe that women should not have to make a choice between their ambition and their responsibilities as mothers. And as society evolves, what, in your opinion, would be the most needed shift to provide equal opportunities for men and women in leadership roles?
I think, I think we might have a similar opinions there. I think the most important thing is in heterosexual couples for men to be heavily involved in childcare from a very early age on. So if your employer allows, really taking that, making sure your partner, if you're in a heterosexual relationship, takes the paternity or shared parental leave. I know many people don't have that luxury. Making sure, but even just if you work a traditional 9 to 5, that your partner on a weekend has time alone with the baby, it's that time alone that helps them fully be responsible, and then that will translate into the bigger responsibility. With our program, we have workshops for couples, and I think you can replicate some of the exercises quite easily just by sharing what is your vision for career and family life between each other, and then practically how do you do that, and what are the systems and routines to make sure that gets into place. So if you have a big ambition of becoming a CEO, that means maybe on a Friday morning you can go for a run. I'm assuming that going for a run is clearing your head and will help you better perform better at work. I'm making this up. I'm not a runner, so it may not be that that's what you mean, but let's just
Marie is. She would resonate with
talking,
this.
Yeah, talking to each other, what's the big thing? And then translating. Obviously, many people don't have a partner, and you can absolutely thrive at work as well if you are a solo parent.
What are some ways, actually? So for the solo parents out there, what are some of the ways that you have found for them to be able to thrive at work and at home without that partner who's able to provide that additional support?
So I should probably say that I'm not a solo parent, so I don't, but I can share what we have one of our trainers on our program that supports solo parents specifically. And she always talks about the importance of the village, if you're lucky enough to have one, and thinking about mapping your network. And if you're lucky enough to be able to be at some of the school drop-offs or pickups, to try to make those relationships so that you can call on. I mean, to be fair, I do that as well as a parent with a very supportive partner. It's absolutely essential. And I think the other thing, which is the best tip, which also I'm now implementing, but one of our solo parent fellows has said to me, she, every 6 weeks or so, she is able to take a day off from work. So she pretends to work, as in she puts it in as a holiday, but she does she sends her child to childcare, and so she has a day for herself. And obviously financially you need to be able to afford that, I completely understand, but for me, I've been able to do that not every 6 weeks but every so often, and that has been a really valuable thing. But I think we also do need to acknowledge that solo parents do have it really tough, and that what you're doing as a solo parent, it's really important. And that even just trying to continue to work and being that role model is such a powerful thing, even if it feels hard. And
I really appreciate your perspective on that, Marina, and the fact that you have a leader within your program who is specifically working with solo parents and helping them find those strategies. Because I know that we have parents who are listening to this podcast, some who have partners at home and some who do not have partners at home. And I think it's really important to think about the strategies that can help all parents thrive. So I really appreciate what you shared there. Something that we also talk about a lot on this podcast and in our programs with Next Chapter Careers is this idea of continuing to grow up. So Marie and I are both strongly of the opinion that there's not some imaginary line between grown up and not grown up. We're continuing to grow up as parents, as professionals. So I'm wondering for you, what does continuing to grow up, what does that idea mean to you?
Oh, I love it. I love that question. So I think it sounds cheesy, but I guess for me, the most important thing to keep growing is to keep getting support. So I thought you would get to a point, probably in your early 20s, where actually you've done your education, that's it. But I've always had a coach. And more recently, I've had coaches that were, you know, looked very different from me, were men from a different ethnicity and so on, different professional background. That has been very transformational. And then I think for my next step personally, it's always about challenging myself out of my comfort zone. And for example, at the moment, we've started doing research around working parents and what works and what employers should be doing and what makes a difference. And that's totally out of my comfort zone. But it's gone so far well, but also it was very scary. So sorry, I'm not answering your question, but I think
you absolutely are. You absolutely are. It's about finding people you can learn from. I love your example about finding people you can learn from that who look different than you do as well, who have different lived experiences. There's so much we can gain from broadening our exposure. And this idea of pushing yourself out of your comfort zone too. If there's something that you want to learn more about, your education didn't stop at a certain age and stage. You can continue to seek it out. So I think those are wonderful examples of continuing to grow up. And I hope it's inspiring for someone out there listening too, to think about how they can apply that to their lives as well. So Verena, as we wrap up, first of all, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. So where can folks find you and follow along with your work?
I think the best place is probably the Leaders Plus website on leadersplus.org. I don't know when this will go out, but generally they're always, we have some free events. You'll also see the Big Careers Small Children podcast, or of course you can connect with me on LinkedIn.
Wonderful. Well, we'll put all those links in the show notes for folks to find you. Any last words before we sign off here, Verena?
If you feel overwhelmed, which you may not do, in which case fantastic, but if you have moments of feeling overwhelmed, just to be, to remember, and I'm sure Becca, you would tell this people all the time, but just to remember that everyone has those moments, and I'm not immune. I'm sure Becca is not immune. It's just such a normal thing. And it's just part of humanity that when you're challenging yourselves to do things that others haven't done before, it's really valuable. It's a normal thing every now and then.
We all feel it for sure. Thank you so much, Marina. And thank you for tuning into When Mommy Grows Up. If you're interested in learning more about how career coaching can help you along your journey of growing up as a mom and professional, head over to nextchaptercareers.us, where you'll also find the free Just Right Job Match quiz. You can contact us at podcast@nextchaptercareers.us. If you have questions, comments, or want to share your story for some coaching on the show. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review and make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast platform. We'll be here every week with coaching stories and two mom friends in your corner.